passage. In chapter 1 of the book of Job, starting in chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. And then remain standing for prayer. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." He was perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.'" Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow before you to give you thanks for today, for the opportunity that we have of worship. We thank you, Lord, that there are those here tonight that afforded themselves that opportunity. We know that there are many that did not, and Lord, there are various reasons for that. Many of our church family are sick and shut in, those that are going through difficult and trying times in their life. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you will bless and be with them in a very special way. You know each of the needs, because you are God and you understand and recognize all the problems of mankind. And God, I pray tonight that as we come to worship you, that you would open the ears of our understanding, Lord, and may through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts and make us keenly aware of the things you'd have us to know and to understand, and the things you'd have us to be about as your people, as your children, dear God. We come, Lord, tonight once again asking that you would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you'd anoint them and speak through them the unsearchable truth of your word, the riches of your word, that we each and every one may be drawn to you and to each other. We ask, oh God, tonight that in your own power and in your own might, that you might demonstrate the very holiness and the righteousness of who you are. And Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that we may be challenged and corrected and commissioned as we leave this place tonight to go into a world and to be the people you've called us to be. Father, would you do that which only you can? And even now, God, we're going to thank you and praise you for that which you're going to do. For we ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, and for his glory alone. Amen. The whole story of the book of Job starts by Satan coming with the angels of God before the Lord. And God asked him what he's been doing, and we read that. And he said he's been going up and down the earth as his usual thing that he does. Let me tell you something. Satan is busy today, is he not? He is busy. God asked him if he had considered his servant Job. Sort of makes you want to tell the Lord, if he ever gets in a conversation with Satan, don't mention your name, does it not? Not to mention my name. Mention my neighbors or somebody else, but don't mention my name. So God bragged on Job. It wasn't his mother. It wasn't his father. It wasn't his uncle. It wasn't his aunt. But it was God bragging on Job. God said this about Job. He said that he is a man that is righteous. He's a man, as we looked there and read that part, he's perfect, upright, one that fears God and eschews evil. That says the three aspects of life, that within the following of mankind, he was one who lived that life that was outstanding and upright. As far as God's view was, he was righteous, meaning that he was in a right relationship with God. And then selfward, it was saying that he was one who eschewed evil, meaning that he did not allow the things to contaminate his life that would bring destruction in his life, because he weighed those things out and he understood exactly the things that followed after those evil things and evil desires. So he was one who had it all together, we might say. He was one that God had blessed. God had blessed him. So God bragged on him. Of course, Job served God. He served God. And if we look at him, we see that here Satan puts up the front that you build a hedge around him. And if you build a hedge around him, you're protecting him. But Satan asked the question, would a man serve God for naught or for nothing? Will a man serve God for nothing? And of course, you know that the story kind of goes downhill from here, so to speak, because of the transformation, the tragedy that takes place. If you look at Job, he was one of the richest men of his day. He was one who was looked up to. He was one who was revered. He was one who was well thought of. And he could have been probably the richest man in all the community. You blessed him, he says, on every side, everything he's done. And let me tell you something. When that happens, Satan says a man would be a fool not to trust God, would he not? Am I right? When he's blessed beyond measure, everything's going his way, everything's hunky-dory, a man would be a fool not to serve under those conditions. But the devil thinks it's a waste of time to serve God. The question we must answer are these, and that is God? Listen to me very close. Is God all by himself, without his blessings, without his favor, worthy of our service and worship? Let me repeat that. Is God all by himself, without his blessings, without his favor and goodness toward us, worthy of our service and worship? The next question then, will we serve and worship God just because we love him, regardless of how he treats us? Let that sink in a minute. Many people, when adversity comes their way and problems come their way, they go to doing many times like so many, they go to blaming God. And when they go to blaming God, many times if they're in church, they fall out of church. They might fall out of love with the church, but let me tell you something, if they're in love with Jesus Christ, they'll never fall out of love with him. But the whole question is, will we serve and worship God just because we love him, regardless of how he treats us, or is our service conditional? Is it conditional? I got 3 points on the outline. The first point is this: will you serve God when surrounded by suffering? If we go from this point on, from verse 12 on, the bottom falls out in Job's life. I mean, everything that can happen according to Murphy's Law will happen and has happened to Job. Everything that he thought was the very blessings of God in his life, and they were the blessings of God, seemingly all at once they were taken away. The 10 children, all his property, all the animals, everything was taken away. Will you serve God when surrounded by suffering? But see, that was not the end. Because what transformed after that is God came back, and that hedge, he says, you know, Job is still, he's still not, you know, he still has integrity. That's what it says there, the last verse, I believe it is. Look in last chapter, verse 22 of chapter 1. It says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. He was a man who recognized the awesomeness of who God was. Your reputation is what others think of you, young people. What others think of you. Your character is what you really are. And you know who you are. But integrity is action that's under God's control that guides your life into being the person that God wants you to be and to become. We ought to be people of integrity. When we look at this, will you serve God when surrounded by suffering? Deep down, I believe we somehow feel that we are special to God, and rightly so. Do you feel special to God? I feel special to God. I wonder why in the world he would choose me. Why would he save me? I mean, I look at my life and even question now, as wicked and sinful as I am, why, God, do you tolerate and put up with me? I cannot comprehend that. But he does. But when we think we're special to God, and rightly so, but we reason, if I'm going to give my life, and I'm going to give my life in service to him, and if I've trusted him as my Savior, and if I've made him Lord of my life, that ought to be worth something, should it not? We think that, should it not? I would say, yes, it is. That ought to be worth something. After all, he is our Heavenly Father, and that should give us a little bit of an edge, should it not? Should it not? The truth is that our faith, and listen to me very closely, the truth is that our faith, your faith and my faith, is never, never tested by prosperity. You let that sink in. It's never tested by prosperity. It is tested by adversity. But there can be adversity in prosperity too as well. Did you know that? Because you can get to the point as a child of God, if you're not careful, you can allow those things to dominate your time and attention away from the things of God. And when we do, let me tell you something. We are the loser because God is the one that's doing the blessing. So, will you serve God when surrounded by suffering? If you read on, Job suffered. He was miserable. He went through all kind of traumatic things with his health, not just with his wealth and his family, but with his own health. He could not comprehend. And the question of questions still come back. If a man dies, shall he live again? Because that was on Job's mind, you know, in this suffering. Then the second thing. Will you serve God when standing alone? Boy, it's easy. It's easy to bunch up and to worship God and to praise God and to thank God and all that stuff when you're in a worship service. But when the real test of our faith comes about is many times when we have to stand alone on who God is and what he wants to do in my life and your life. Listen to me. It's easy to serve God when things are positive. It's easy to serve God when you're surrounded by your friends and they're encouraging you and they believe in you. It's easy. The real issue is, will you serve God if everybody forsakes you and leaves you alone and no one really appreciates you? Turn to 2 Timothy just a moment. Paul went through this. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Let's see where it is now. I maybe got the wrong place. 2 Timothy 4. No, it's chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Paul was one that took a definite stand for the things of God. He was one who was the greatest missionary in all the world, I believe, as he ministered and he established churches and he tried to care for those churches and minister to those churches. He even said in one place, he says, "The more I love you, the less I'm loved." And he felt like at this time he was standing on, this is part of his swan song, his departure. He's ready to leave because he feels like he's standing, he's right by himself, and he's standing alone and no one will stand with him. I believe our Lord felt that same thing, don't you? When he went to the cross. If you look in the gospel, you see it says, "And they stood afar off." In other words, they stood afar off, meaning a distance, a great distance, viewing what took place at the cross. Not wanting to be associated with what was on the cross or who was there. They stood afar off and they looked. Jesus felt that. That's why he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All his friends had done scrambled, left. Can you? Will you serve God when you have to stand alone? I can't answer that. Only you can. The third question, is will you serve God when he is silent? When God is silent, have you ever prayed for something and prayed for something and prayed for something and it seemed like the heavens were like brass and you heard nothing and you thought your prayers got no higher than your nose or your eye view? And you wonder where God is, what's going on. The whole scope of the book of Job from chapter 3 on is the why. Why did it happen? Why? They say Job is an example of patience. Job was not a patient man. He was impatient, but he was persistent because he knew who was in control. Job lost his cool. If you don't believe it, turn to chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Just look there with me just a moment. Let me get back to my book, please. Look in chapter 7 with me. Wonder how he felt. It says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and weariness nights are appointed to me. When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossing to and fro upon the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods and dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eyes of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaints, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrify me through visions, so that my soul chooses stranglings and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are what? Vanity, empty, nothing." That's how Job felt. Will you serve God when He's silent? When you do not hear from Him? Someone tells of a tragedy and they ask, well, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Our problem is not getting the answer to the question as much as it is of hearing the response of what God wants in our life. Because, see, we are not asking the right question may be the problem. We may not be asking the right question. It may not be the why as much as the purpose beyond or behind the why. Why did Job go through all this? I don't know. God knows. I don't know. God knows. But the thing we need to realize is God finally spoke to Job. And sooner or later, we need to come to grips with these three things about life, just as Job did. God has a right, period. He has a right because He is sovereign. He explains this in Job 38. He spoke to Job out of the whirlwind, and He just questioned Job with a few things. Were you there whenever creation began? What did you have to do with it? Were you there whenever the winds came forth? Were you there, Job? What did you have to do with it? We need to realize that what God does and however God does it, that God is right and He's righteous in what He does, folks. We may not understand it. We may not can comprehend it. And we still may want to say why. But there's a purpose behind it. A purpose behind it. Yes, God is right. He's always been right and He always will be right. But there's another thing. The second thing is God has a reason. God has a reason. A reason. Job 42:2, he come to realize, he says, things too wonderful me. I still don't understand what Job was saying. I cannot comprehend because they're too wonderful for me to comprehend. And let me tell you something. That is right because, see, God has a reason. Why things happen, I don't understand. I don't really understand. But what I need to do is like Job, is I need to recognize that God is in control. And if I'm His child, He's working out that which is the best for me under the circumstances that's going on in my life. Boy, sometimes that's hard to swallow, is it not? I mean, let's face it. Let's face it. We question things. We question things. God has a reason. But there's not only that. We need to realize also that God has a reward. And if you go to chapter 42, verse 10, you see that God doubly blessed Job with His children. You say, well, maybe that wasn't too good of a blessing, but God blessed him with double children. God always rewards those who put their faith and trust in Him, those who depend upon Him, those who look to Him for what He is working in and through their life. Yes, Job is a good example. Will a man serve God for nothing or naught? Will you serve God for nothing or naught? Will you be one to trust Him in every aspect of life? The question of questions in the book of Job is still the same. If a man die, shall he live again? Shall he live again? The question to that is answered. The question in the New Testament is answered. Yes, he can live again. He can live in physical death or through physical death because of physical death. But he cannot live if he dies spiritually while here as he gives up the ghost physically and dies spiritually. So the question is, have we trusted Almighty God with the aspect of spiritual life in our being? Have we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives spiritual life? Not just physical life, but spiritual life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. That it can be meaningful and have purpose. And if there's something that we need in our world today and in our lives today, it's for our lives to have purpose for something. A reality of a purpose for something. Let me tell you, young people, and old people too as well, if you want your life to have purpose, you must allow Jesus to be Lord of your life. You cannot have purpose, meaning there will be no life. There might be existence, but there will never be life until you make Jesus Lord of your life. You can live and get by, That's all. That's all, just life living. But when you trust Jesus Christ, He gives you everlasting, eternal, abundant life for those who trust Him. Job, as all those things was taken away, he come to realize in all the anguish and the pain and the suffering of his physical problem that he had, the boils that were there as he took the broken pieces of pottery and literally scratched and itched those places on his body. But he come to realize his greatest treasure was not what he accumulated on earth. The greatest treasures were the God of heaven. The God of heaven. Because he kept his integrity before Almighty God. Tonight, that's what it says there. It says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." She saw him in his misery and his pain. That's why he stood alone. Not even his wife agreed with him. You're talking about someone to nag in your situation? He had one that nagged him in the situation, the problem he was going through. Tonight, as we look at this, will we serve God for nothing? Will we serve God for nothing? Is God all by himself, without his blessings, without his favor, without all the things and the blessings that we obtain, worthy of our service and worship? Is he? Will we serve and worship God just because we love him, regardless of how things happen in our life? Will we do that? Or do we serve God because of conditions? We look for his blessings. There's a song that was wrote several years ago, and it's in the chorus. It goes, like, says something like this: God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be mistaken. And if you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart. Have you done that? If you're not, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Listen to the words of this song. It deals with, where's your treasure tonight? Tell you where mine's at. The song explains it. Listen to it.
Strive in this world for great riches. How they labor for their silver and their gold. But the treasure for which I am searching, their value has never been told. My treasures are waiting up in glory, where their beauty shall not fade away. Far more precious than gold or than silver, and I know I shall see them someday. Not many more hills to cross over, not many more veils to walk through. Soon those gates of pearl will swing open. Then my treasure shall come into view. My treasure are waiting up in glory, where their beauty will precious than gold or than silver. And I know I shall see them someday. And I know we shall see them someday.
Father, we thank you.